This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ready to raise the interest rate yet again for the fourth consecutive time. Meanwhile, people are complaining about Gobble Gobble Day that they might not be able to afford a turkey. Do you fall into that category? As it is twice as much as it was last time around for Thanksgiving. And we also have early voting, and early voting is really, really off the charts, which I think is a good thing, but Gallup says voter enthusiasm is down. How are you, America and beyond our borders? Kate Delaney, happy as always to be navigating these choppy waters with all of you. You know, early voting can range in all kinds of lengths depending on where you live before Election Day. Usually it's a little more than 2 weeks. Over 25 million people reportedly by the tracking the early vote have been voting. So to me, that's good. I think early voting is good. If people are voting, whether they're voting early, whether they're voting on actual election day, which is the 8th, and midterm elections where we could see a changing of the guard, there's so much at stake here. There's so much at stake in your area. Usually there are things that are on your particular ballots that affects your wallets, not just the people who represent you in Washington, D.C. So prior years, we've seen less of a turnout than we've seen so far right now. So 23 to 25, but I'll say 23 is the hard number I got from someone of people that have voted in the 2022 general election. And when I say someone, it's the data that's been analyzed by the University of Florida's U.S. Elections Project. They're usually pretty right on. And that's up from a week ago where it was a little bit over 15 million. The good news is, like I said, that people are returning ballots. They're mailing them in. They're going in and voting early to polling places. And even in places where historically there's low participation, because presidential cycles, there's more interest in races where there's a presidential seat at stake. But there are these early options for people, and people are taking advantage of them. Georgia's has a high turnout. Florida has a high turnout. Pennsylvania has a high turnout. You know, as of just even a few days ago, Florida's well over the million mark, people casting their ballots there, getting them in early. Same thing with Florida, lots of counties early. Texas blew through 1 million just the other day. California, same thing, they're well over a million. And those are some of the bigger states. And probably in a way, not necessarily surprised that they would have a high turnout because of the fact that you have, more traffic, more things to navigate to get to a polling place, and maybe bigger crowds and in smaller nooks and crannies across the U.S. So for enthusiasm, as far as voting is concerned, this is what I got from Gallup. 49% of Americans who say they've given quite a lot of thought to this year's congressional elections, and they're essentially unchanged from the previous reading in June, so 49%. But usually that the figures change as you get a little bit closer. As far as enthusiastic, 42% are less enthusiastic about voting than in prior midterms. So that's what they're saying when asked the question through this Gallup research, that yes, there was this amount of thought that was given to an election. It's a key predictor of voter turnout. When people say they're thinking more about an upcoming election, usually the turnout is higher because they can go back and look at all those numbers. That's why polling is deemed valuable, right? But this is pretty interesting. Since 1994, on average, Republicans have slightly outpaced Democrats in giving thought to elections. In the final pre-election poll in 2018, though, Democrats were more likely than Republicans to have said that they were thinking about the election a lot. And they went on to win back control of the U.S. House of Representatives. The Republicans gained two seats in the Senate. But this year, neither party has an edge. 57% of Democrats and Republicans alike say they've thought about the elections. And then you got independents. 37% say the same thing. So if we're trying to read the tea leaves from that data, it's pretty much dead on. And just overall, there is less enthusiasm, as I mentioned, right? So there is a slight decline since 1994, right? And so what do we make of that? I think for a lot of things, I think that people still have in their minds, and I understand why, that who I want to win isn't going to win, so I don't care. Or it's already written in your area. I already know who's going to win, so what does my vote do? There's so much of that. What does my vote do? I don't see what it matters. What's the difference? It's not, you know, they've promised something and then it never happens, and it's that, you know, apathy too. But if more people didn't take didn't have that frame of mind, I think that you would see the results you want. I really do. The more people that vote. And because I've been to countries where people are either forced to vote against their will for people they don't want, or they have no say in it, it, to me, is one of the greatest rights we have. Even if we hate things with the system, even if we don't like some of the people, even if we're disillusioned with what's happening at this moment in time, it's too important. We definitely still live in a free society, right? And it's the best. All you have to do is tiptoe into some of those other areas, and you want to get the hell out of there right away. Seriously, because I've been afforded that opportunity, and I've seen it. Yeah, I can remember when I went to Ecuador, and this was to do, because I support a great group that they help in the United States, and they help in countries where they have nothing. Children International, and we went down there and went to visit some kids and brought, you know, simple things like soccer balls and took them to McDonald's and that kind of thing. And they were so incredibly grateful. It was like we were handing them gold bars. But I can remember someone saying to me, like, you know, if in our country, if we don't vote, then when we want to take these trips somewhere, go to Miami, go someplace else, they don't let you go. Like, you have to have a card that proves that you voted. And they told me, don't talk a lot of politics when you're down here because people are watching. I'm like, watching? And that's not even, you know, I've been in places where you have a dictatorship in place. And that's worse. It's so much worse. So much is at stake here. And now at this point, there's the drama that we see, but it looks like it's a dead heat for the Senate. Will it go red or will it stay blue? I mean, it's a toss-up. It's neck and neck already. And you know where some of these races are hot, and it includes, obviously, Georgia, Pennsylvania. It's gotten really tight in Pennsylvania. What's going to happen in Arizona? What's going to happen in New Hampshire? What about Ohio and Wisconsin? They're pretty close, that's for sure. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Yes, tick, tick, tick. Just to remind you, in case I forget, Sunday, November 6th, guess what it is? We turn back the clocks. That's right, fall back. So theoretically, I really do kind of like the fall back because I get an extra hour of sleep, right? That means when I walk the dog, it's not 8 o'clock. You know, the time is different because I gain that hour. I'm just saying, it feels like that no matter what. It's weird because we always have these discussions about daylight savings time. And daylight savings time is going to come to an end for 2022, but not for good. There's a lot of discussion about that. And it was Marco Rubio that put up the legislation, I think, initially, the Sunshine Protection Act, which would make daylight savings time permanent and effectively eliminate the seasonal changing of the clocks. But it has to pass the House and it has to be signed by President Joe Biden before it's fully approved. And supposedly it's hit a brick wall in the House. And the reason is that it's mostly because it's not a priority. So they're not really working on it. There's not massive discussion because there's so many other things that are priorities. Imagine that. But the new time wouldn't go into full effect until 2023, with clocks not rolling back after springing ahead for daylight savings time in March of next year. So the clock would spring ahead in March, I just said that, and it wouldn't fall back. And this is a bipartisan bill, and it would mean we wouldn't have to change the clocks twice a year. It would eliminate standard time, which is what many states switch to during the winter months, right? So, I mean, look, 30 states have introduced some kind of legislation to end the whole idea of changing times each year. And in all kinds of polls, and there have been all kinds of polls, Americans mostly are in favor of ending the time change every year, right? So, well, I mentioned one of the co-sponsors, Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, said that giving children an additional hour of sunlight after school allows for safer trips home, more time spent outdoors, and other kind of health benefits. And would it be more beneficial to have that instead of the opposite of what we do right now, right? 60% of the countries, if you're curious, in the world use standard time all year, 60%. The remaining countries use DST during the summer months. So generally setting clocks forward 1 hour from standard time, that's of course what it means. And that's what it's about. So here's what I care about. I'm just thinking, what is better for our sleep, right? If it's made permanent, standard time takes over, would it be better? Would it structure better time? Would that be better for us or not, right? So when you have these shifts, I think it causes fatigue and sometimes mood changes and, I don't know, shifting to permanent daylight savings time in the winter would be more darkness in the morning, more light in the evening. So would that misalign our body's rhythm and timing? You know, the whole work-school thing. Is it harder for most people to fall asleep at night? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's lots of people analyzing this that do this for a living, and many suggest yes. That sleep experts argue that permanent daylight savings time would disproportionately affect people living in the northern part of the United States. So, like Montana, North Dakota, Michigan wouldn't see sunrise until after 9:30 a.m. during the winter months. Oh, that would be tough, I think. Right? So, in populous areas would have darker mornings. So sunrise wouldn't happen till like 8:20 in New York City in January anyway. In Los Angeles, it would be 8 a.m. Minneapolis sunrise would be 9 a.m. Hey, 9 a.m. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Wonder if that mess up the roosters at all. I don't know. It is interesting, and there is reasons why there's the good benefits of it too, you know. And somebody asked me, how did daylight savings time start? I mean, why do we change the clocks anyway? And it was partially all the way back to one of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. They credit him, history credits him as the inventor of daylight savings time. He wrote an essay in the late 1700s about saving candles and saying, remember the saying, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But listen, he was known for his jokes and his satire. Was that really serious? So many years later, Germany was the first to adopt daylight savings time in 1916 during World War I because they were trying to conserve fuel. So then Europe did the same thing. The U.S. didn't adopt daylight savings time until March of 1918. It was unpopular. Nobody liked it, or some people liked it, but a lot of people didn't, and was abolished after World War I. Then 1942, Franklin Roosevelt instituted a year-round daylight savings time he called wartime, and that lasts until 1945. So, I mean, you get it. This has been debated a lot as to what is the best course of action. But it sounds to me like there's going to be, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but there's going to be enough votes for this to happen. And so March would be the last time we would spring ahead, and then you just would have to get used to it. So anybody living in the north who didn't want to fumble around in the dark early in the morning, if you work early in the morning, you would absolutely, those states I mentioned, and others, you'd be affected because everybody would, it would be later as to when the sun comes up. So interesting. All right, I got a sports note here. Because we don't have a man cave this time around. But how about what's happening in the World Series? So the Astros won the second game of the World Series. Then they went to Philadelphia. There was a tremendous rainstorm, so the game is postponed and just pushed, right, to Tuesday. So game three is Tuesday. The Phillies beat the Astros 7-0. It was just a bombs away fest. You know, just it was just One home run after another. And, of course, the first one, Bryce Harper, who's the hitting machine for Philadelphia, not during the regular season. He had an injury, then he came back and he wasn't hitting anything. But now he has phenomenal numbers. He gets up and first pitch, boom, with a two-run homer, and that's it. And the crowd went crazy. And, you know, who knows what happens in this next game. But it has been a very interesting World Series, to say the least, for sure. And I know that we have a lot of college football fans out there, because often in the mailbag I get your emails about what do I think, and what do I think of Georgia is the real deal, and what do I think is going to happen with the Georgia's linebacker out the rest of the season, and what do I think, you know, the college football playoffs, who's going to end up where? Well, it's not good for Georgia. They lost Nolan Smith. He was the star pass rusher for sure. So that's not good. He's having surgery on Thursday. He's going to expect to make a full recovery, but he's not going to be there for the team. I mean, he led the Bulldogs with sacks and tackles and quarterback hurry, so he was a key factor. So everybody moves up, right? Their defense is number two in the rankings, and, you know, period. But this is the crunch time when we look at college football, and we look at schedules, and we look at, you know, rankings, and we look at the teams that are there for the CFP, which I think was the smartest thing they did. So, you know, you've got undefeated Tennessee gets the number one spot in the college football playoffs initial top 25 ranking on Tuesday night. First time in their history they cracked the top four. Number two is Ohio State. Number three now is Georgia. Number four is Clemson. Undefeated Michigan at number five. And Alabama, it's so odd not to see them. One loss for them, so they're number six, but they're ahead of undefeated TCU. So I guarantee, depending on how everything finishes up, there are going to be a lot of arguments about if it's fair or not. This may be one of the first times that we had serious arguments about the final four, you know, those final handful of teams that get to vie for it. The final six, if you look at the six teams, wow, Alabama 6-7-1. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Stay with us.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
A new study by Greenpeace found that of the 51 million tons of plastic waste U.S. households generated last year, just 2.4 million tons, or about 5%, was recycled. Plastic is produced with fossil fuels, and diesel is in crisis. A year ago, a gallon averaged Americans about $3.63. Today, according to AAA, it's up to a whopping $5.31 per gallon. A new law now in effect in the Big Apple requires employers advertising jobs there to include a salary range for every job, promotion, and transfer opportunity advertised. Don't forget to get your ticket before Wednesday night. The Powerball jackpot is up over $1 billion. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Oh, say my dream. Oh, say my dream. Where is my ship?
Glenn Just, his book is Image Transformations of the Brain Mind, Experiencing the Emergent Supervening Self. It is so interesting when you think of the mind and what happens in our brains, and this image transformations by our brains are, as he says in his book, key to understanding dreams and hallucinations and all kinds of other states of consciousness, if you've ever looked at that. And boy, where we are in the world today, this couldn't be more valuable. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
What was your motivation behind writing this? Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, I thought it would be helpful to a lot of people because it explains the kind of experiences that the medical community and psychologists have had difficulty explaining for forever, actually. Once we understand the transfer between the primary and secondary consciousness parts of our brain, we can interpret our dreams, we understand our hallucinations, we understand how people can go into shamanic trance and how they can do automatic writing and a lot of other things. So folks who have had the sense of being possessed by spirits or they go into psychotic episodes and they don't know what's happening in their brain, it addresses all of those issues. And in that, over a course of really about 30 to 50 years, I learned to control all those different states of consciousness and create imagery on demand that I wanted. I came up with, I thought, of as a unified explanation for all of that. So transformations of the brain mind actually explains all the different phenomena and it simplifies it so people can really understand what's happening in their own head. And that takes away a lot of the anxiety and the fear and, you know, and the discomfort that people do have.
Yeah, I love that, understanding what's going on in your own head, and obviously you have that. So it goes to, how does all the awareness lead to a better mental health, and also self-healing, because we see how many people are struggling. So you think if people really understood that, that would be such a great gift.
Yeah, I was plagued by two really debilitating nightmares when I got out of the service in 1957, and I entered the University of Minnesota, and I was waking up two or three times a night, you know, in a sweat and full of adrenaline, not able to sleep, and was really destroying my university experience and social life. So I learned how to program, or we say now script, my own dreams. So I substituted pleasant, exotic kind of dreams for my nightmares, and I kept doing that for 20 years. But what it did was stabilize my emotions and my social life, let me lead a normal day-to-day life. But what I didn't understand at the time is that it was controlling my brain chemistry, the neuromodulators that automatically happen, which means that the brain goes into self-healing, so that when I stopped those controls and scripting my own dreams after 20 years, you know, I had a healthy brain that I could then use to finally understand all the stuff that was happening. So anyway, the book shares that with people, and it's a fourth book in a series that I started with my autobiography that, you know, it explains the gradual progression that I went through to discover all these different things.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about in the book that all of us, and so for people listening to this who, you know, talk about dreams or they sort of remember something, you talk about the fact that each of us has like 25 to 50 dreams a night. But if we're sort of typical, we do only remember a handful in a week or month. But paying attention to the dreams opens what you're talking about, the door, the window, whatever you want to call it, to self-awareness, right?
Right. The brain is set up so that it has various functions that it performs. It wants to integrate into memory what's happened in the previous day and days, and it wants to rebalance your emotions. But one of the other little things that happens in the dream cycle is that your brain gets washed with cerebral spinal fluid, and it takes all of the metabolic byproducts and flushes them out, so you remain healthy. And if you're not sleeping and going through those normal 90-minute dream cycles, your brain sort of gets plugged up with a bunch of junk. And if it goes to an extreme, you wind up with things like dementia and Alzheimer's. So sleep and dreaming is really a very important part of your 24-hour daily cycle. And to be able to control that means that you are improving your health from an emotional point of view, from a brain health point of view, from a social point of view, in terms of stabilizing your life. So it's really important that people understand this and they're able to control what's happening to them.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about Image Transformations of the Brain Mind, this book, which, of course, you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope they take away the idea that you don't have to suffer nightmares and hallucinations and fear from things like a sleep paralysis indefinitely, because these are all very simple things that you can control once you understand what's happening to your brain. But the really, really, I think, hopeful part of it is that a German philosopher and researcher by the name of Metzinger said, and I'm going to quote him, he says, the fact that we can actively design the structure of our conscious minds has been neglected and will become increasingly obvious through the development of rational neuroanthropology, he calls it. It's psychoneurology, combining psychologically what's happening with your brain with the neurology or the actual physical processes of the brain. When we realize that we can control process, we can learn how to do that, and that it fundamentally gives us a road to health if we are not healthy, and it gives us a road to better health if we are, once we can control that imagery. Think of taking away the negative imagery and the emotion that you have that disrupts your life and stabilizing that. This is what the people who are long-term meditators attempt to do. And you can do that using the procedures and the self-hypnosis that that I've developed and I talk about in this book and my other books. You don't have to suffer. You can actually change your life.
Wow, so that has to be pretty empowering, and what a thing for you to put out there. Does that feel good after what you went through and the challenges and then realizing and discovering what could happen?
Yeah, I went from sort of being a fruitcake, if I can use that expression, to being a healthy person who went on, got his doctorate degree. You know, I spent half my lifetime teaching at the university, and the other time pretty much working with people who have behavioral problems and disorders, setting up treatment programs for them and working directly in human services. A psychiatrist who is now deceased as of last year by the name of Alan Hobson wrote a book called Ego Damage and Repair. And in that, he has a 35-page section that he analyzes my self-therapy and promotes the use of self-hypnosis and self-therapy, which were forbidden throughout most of the 20th century by Freudian psychiatrists. But it's something that I employed. It worked very well, and it fits into where neuroscience and psychology has come over the past century.
Wow, so when people get the book, that's something you've got in it, that self-hypnosis, the ways that they can work the system, so to speak.
Right, and it's a pretty simple thing. When I was in high school, I bought a book on hypnosis for 25 cents on a library's sale. And so I used that to hypnotize my high school friends. So I was familiar with hypnosis. And when I was having all that trouble as a freshman at University of Minnesota, I thought, well, gee, I'll just teach myself to do that. And it's really quite a simple procedure. You can look up self-hypnosis, you can follow those routines, and you can do that yourself. Or if you have difficulty, you can go to a hypnotist and say, you know, teach me how I can use self-hypnosis. But I go through all those different steps and learning processes in my autobiography, which is autobiography of a ghost. So you don't have to feel helpless. It's something that any normal person can learn if they are motivated to do so.
Wow, so good stuff, Glenn Just. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Manifested in an egg, developing a wound, born out of a moon belly, first day of doom, crying out like you wanna be put back in there. Maybe later in the incubator for more care. Alone, get to your home and your crib set, put behind bars and you ain't even lived yet. Going through the playpens, when will the state end? Parents can't make rent, money from the safety.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Boston to Oklahoma, New York City's Beyond the Bombings. What an intriguing title. David Hamill, the author, joins us. David, what made you decide to go in this direction? What was the motivation to writing for you to writing this book?
Well, it started out to be a normal marathon training run turned into something that grew much bigger than I would have ever imagined. Just got back, took off my shoes, turned on TV to catch the Boston Marathon. I'm from Massachusetts, so it's near and dear on Patriots Day, a holiday, our national independence and all that from Lexington and Concord. But lo and behold, an explosion would happen. And the first thing that you saw the visions were was the race clock. And that race clock time of the first explosion was 4:09. And that was my hey you moment. It brought me back to my first marathon, which was a 4:09 also. You never forget your first. So that was the beginning.
Wow, so it made you, you know, and remember, that was terrible, of course, what happened, what the tragic death, and you talk about it, of an eight-year-old boy near the finish line, then you mix in Oklahoma and you know, what happened there. So how did you pull it together? If somebody reads the book, what can they expect? How did you write this?
It's a personal story, so it just takes you through a journey. From the time of the bombing that set me on this course, of course, three died, 16 had lost limbs, and 260 were killed in that bombing. The second one that went off that had killed an eight-year-old boy was another portion that brought me back to Oklahoma City because that bombing happened in April of 1995. So 168 people were killed in that one, 15 of 25 babies in the daycare center. So it got real personal real quick. And I realized I had some issues to go back and revisit to try to get ahead of this here. And one way to do that was try to get into the Boston Marathon in 2014 to take it back. Boston strong year. Let's beat the terrorists and go from there.
And so you did do that.
Yeah, lo and behold, I got in on a team. Someone had dropped, you know, timing, everything being what it was. I did go back to run that year. Everybody was really stoked. And so we were able to take it back. The Red Sox had won that year, that earlier that year. So all these indicators were there, and we thought that, hey, we beat these guys. And the our freedoms and the way we remember Patriots Day, we reclaimed that.
So it's interesting, in your running, you know, you, I think somewhere I was reading in the book that you were averaging like 4:40 or something, your marathon times, right?
Yeah, at that time, I was estimating had I run that race, I'd been about 3 miles behind the first explosion, so I couldn't imagine if, you know, the timing being what it was and I'd been there, all the chaos and the things that would have happened, but I wasn't there that year, but I went back to relive it and put this behind us and win.
Yeah. You know, you talk about Boston and you mentioned it, Oklahoma, and what happened at the federal building in downtown Oklahoma, the explosion that took off the building's entire, what was it, north wall, and what, you know, the sadness and what happened, the death toll so high, and the, so many of the children that were in the book. And doing that, is it the analogy, the time analogy is also wrapped into this?
Yeah, it's just phenomenal at the timings and the analogies to all that, because when the second explosion at Boston happened after 4-9, eight-year-old boy was killed, and that brought me back to Oklahoma City. Because at the time, my wife and I were there for fertility treatments. So the timing back then was not good. We were not successful in our attempts. 9:02 a.m. was something I just couldn't get out of. And then fast forward to September 11th when the second plane hit the tower. I think everybody remembers where they were at when that happened. But that time of the initial impact was 9:02:59. And I just seemed to be stuck there for many years. Two bombings in Boston, well, two attacks in New York City. And so that was another resonating thing to say, I need to go back to Oklahoma City and try to wrestle with these issues there.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book? What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, it's a fantastic journey. A lot of it's about letting go. I did go back to Oklahoma City, run the Memorial Marathon they had there, which was great. If you have the chance to see the memorial, it's a fantastic place. At 9:02, where the Murr building was, there's now a reflecting pool. There's 168 chairs that are set up that are lit up at night. But each end of that reflecting pool at 9:02 are the gates of time, 9:01 and 9:03. And I had to figure a way to get to 9:03. So when I come across the finish line in Oklahoma City, I kept running. I got to the 9:01 gate, paused at 9:02, and said, you know what, I got to get through 9:03. And then when I did, it was a big let-go moment, and I just kind of put all these heartbreak behind and press on with life again.
Yeah, well, I think there is absolutely something to that. There's no question talking about your life and being for these fertility treatments at a nearby center at the time, as you said, with the Oklahoma City bombing, and then being from Massachusetts and then running a year later and what happened at the Boston Marathon, and then of course 9/11. It is one of those chilling things that I don't think we forget where we are. So this was an interesting book. Will you write another book?
Yeah, ironically, after this, people are asking, well, what's your marathon story? So basically, 4-9 was the basically two or three events wrapped up with running, but then it went on, and I was asked, well, what would consider an accomplished runner? I said, well, and a marathon is 26.2 miles, so that's a good little haul there, but I thought that if you could do 100 marathons, do one in all 50 states, and run in the Boston Marathon, that would be a trifecta of accomplishment. So that's what led to the second book, Trifecta, 26 plus years, 26.2, The Chronicles of a Marathoner. And so I cover how I started running and why, but it gets into the whys, and it covers the journey, bringing you right up to the recent Boston Marathon in 21. I was able to go back again, and that's a whole story there, too.
Wow. So 21, how fast did you do in 21?
Oh, geez, it was 6:20, 6:30, I think it was. So my times are drastically have slipped off, 6 hours and 30 minutes, I guess. So, but my personal record back in my early day was a 3:25:19, which a sub 8 back in my early days.
Wow.
Still moving, but much slower. I've finished 131 marathons. I have done all 50 states. And so I'm kind of getting into the writing prose now that Trifecta has been out. And I'm about to release the third book, basically, my Cold War life, Three Decades of Silent Battle. And that covers my Cold War story, growing up in the 60s and serving in the Air Force in the 80s and 90s. So more to come.
Wow, what an interesting life you have led, David Hamill. I love it. 131 marathons, 50 states. That's incredible. And by the way, I think 6 hours and anything is good. That is still a solid time if you're talking about 21, what you ran. So congratulations on all of that and on this thought-provoking book, 409 to 902, Boston to Oklahoma, New York City's Beyond the Bombings. David Hamill, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. Sure, appreciate it.
Wow, that's incredible to think. I'm still thinking, first of all, how he did time and that he happened to be there, Oklahoma City, and then, wow, jaw-dropping when he sees what happened at the marathon, and then thinking of course, where were you on 9/11 and pulling that all together, and then just kind of processing the 131 marathons that he talked about in his next book, the 50 states doing that. I mean, that is the trifecta. That's wild that he was able to do that. And then, of course, his service, and that's the next thing coming up for him. Like I said, it's very, very intriguing, and especially because those moments in time and how that time had that impact on him and really on all of us. It's like what he said, the hey, you moment. And just how awful. I can remember choking back tears or probably just letting them fly when that 8-year-old boy near the finish line was killed, because I had so many friends in Boston, including one that came on the show that ran in that marathon but was behind. Like he said, how he would have been behind that first bombing. Same thing, you know, the first explosion. The same thing for him, so it really had an impact. And I think all of those have had an impact on our lives without question. So again, the book is 409-902, Boston, Oklahoma, New York City's Beyond the Bombings, David Hamill. Thanks to him for the conversation and to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.